Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Continue Cast, episode number 2. We are getting through these, ain't we? Honestly, it was a pleasure having Dan Soto come in. So Dan Soto came in, we recorded an hour, and then when we stopped recording, we ended up waffling on for another 2.5-3 hours talking about all sorts of stuff, all things music, all sorts of stuff. He's just the nicest guy. So had a great chat with Dan. And I've got to say, like, on a personal note, I was a hell of a lot more relaxed this time round. There was a whisker of when I hit record, because I had Josh Hassel come in. Josh Hassel done episode 1. So if you haven't listened to episode 1 with Josh Hassel, please check that out, because that was a right chuckle, a right gift having him in, because I've known him for years, and even though I've known him for years, I thought I knew everything there was to know about Josh Hassel. When he was saying things that I didn't know, and it surprised me, I was going, "Really? Really? Really? Really?" I was doing a squeaky really. I was doing that a hell of a lot, because I listened to it back. And then another thing I was doing, I was going, interesting. I was saying that a lot. Interesting. Oh, gosh. And the other one I was doing is more the amount of times I went, do you know what I mean? I was doing that a lot. So, like, it's going to get to a point. At this rate, there's going to be like a continue cast bingo. Yep, Alex said interesting. Yep, Alex said really. Yep, Alex said, do you know what I mean? Right, bingo. We don't want that. We don't want a continue cast bingo. We don't want that. No. So I need to sort my stuff out. I need to sort it out. So when Dan Soto came in, I was very aware of a potential continue cast bingo, which I do not want. So look. You know, I reckon by another few of these, I'll be completely relaxed. But I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to do podcasting on my own. Never done it before. I'm still learning how to work this equipment. Because like I say, and I said before, like, I've got this thing. It's doing, like, all these waves and levels and things happening in front of me. I still have no idea what they are. I have no idea what this is. So, like, I do apologize. I will get there. But, hey, Dan Soto was an absolute pleasure. And yeah, we spoke about his album, Searching, which is available for streaming. His viral success in America, we spoke about that. And we also spoke about the fact that he started doing open mic nights in 2015. And he was actually singing when he was a little youngling, if you will. He was singing in nativity plays, and he had one of those like squeaky voices, like "We're walking in the air," and it's quite, which is quite funny. So yeah, an interesting chat with Dan Soto. So yeah, let's get into it. Episode 2 of the Continue Cast with Dan Soto. Do you know what? I know so many Dans. It's becoming a popular name. So yeah. I think there must be a stat. There's got to be a stat. They're like 1 in 7 men are called Dan.
I've taken over the world.
You are. Is it Daniel?
Yeah, I know. Mother calls me that.
Daniel.
So everyone else is Dan, and that's literally it.
What, do you know what you would have been called if you wasn't called Dan? Have you had that conversation?
Yeah, my mum said, I think she watched The Omen, and it was Damien.
Damien.
Yeah.
So you would have been called Damien.
The irony is, I've got a twin, and he's the naughty twin, as they say. So the irony is, as I say, I would have been Damien, the good twin.
Damien, the good twin.
Yeah, which wouldn't have worked with the Omen, as I say.
Damien's not too. I was originally called Jonathan up until the point, probably. I don't know, a couple of weeks in, my mum was like, he doesn't look like a Jonathan, he looks like an Alex. I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should
it's
take
hard,
it.
It's hard.
Yeah.
With kids.
Obviously. Oh, because you've named kids.
Yeah, I've got two boys.
Did Kyle you change their
Sam.
Names?
No, we had Kyle, again, like that, as I say. Kyle, does he look like a Kyle? What does a baby look like? It's Yeah, but we was watching Terminator, strange enough, and that was Kyle Reese.
Yeah.
And I like Kyle. It's different. You know, you don't see too many Kyles about. So my eldest was Kyle. And a couple of years down the line, we had Sam, which that one was based around a game character, which on Skyrim. And my character adopted a kid called Sam. And my missus is absolutely fell in love with the name, and my youngest is called Sam.
So you so the names you gave them stayed?
Yeah.
They stuck?
They just kind of stuck. And certainly the second one, because say my eldest was only 3 and a half. So you didn't want to confuse him by going, oh, we was going to call him Sam, but now we're going to call him, I don't know, whatever else.
That's cool, because it's funny, because I remember having a conversation like this with my dad, and he said, have you heard of that thing called Hornblower, with the captain of this really famous ship or whatever, this old...
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's the captain, the main character, is called Horatio Hornblower. He looked me in the eye, I remember, and he went, I wanted to call you Horatio.
Imagine that.
If I was called Horatio, I would never have been given a chance in school.
No.
That would have been pure... And also, like, playing football, like, you're called Daniel, but like, Dan, possible, Dan. Like, it's like, ow. We're going to say... Whore, come over here, mate. So I remember when...
2 foot whore.
Yeah, yes. We don't want none of that. I would have been caned at school. But absolutely. I remember, the reason why I remember that so vividly is when he said that, I the first thing I thought of was hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank God I was not called Horatio Lane. Like, that would have been a madness.
Yeah, that's but, a random one.
What's crazy, do you remember when we first met?
I think I first saw you just before COVID. I went down to the Moon Dance, which is in Rochester High Street. And I think Aid Lewis was covering it, rather than, because Clint Travis or Clint Both of me normally did that one before COVID. And I see you come on, and I was watching, and it's like, you've done this medley thing. And I was like... This geezer mustard. This geezer was absolutely quality.
Thank you.
And you said to me, I've done my set. And as I say, I'll touch on it a bit later on. But I'm still, you know, in my early stages of my journey, early to mid stages of the musician journey. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching, I'm taking stuff from everyone. But my journey is slightly different, I feel. Mine is, I'm a singer first and foremost, and then guitarist second. So other guys probably... go round the other way, certainly on the local circuit. So I remember watching yourself and thinking, this geezer's awesome. He's just strung together 6-7 songs in one hit. How the f*** did you do that? And I'd done my bit, and you said, mate, you got some pipes on you.
You remember that?
I remember that clearly. I was like, yeah, fair enough. Cheers, mate. As I say, it's, you know, when... What did I say? When game appreciates game, as the saying goes, that's quite a nice feeling. As I say, certainly with my perception that I need to work towards, where, you know, other guys that have been on the circuit or been playing all their life or got a musical background or whatever have you, I feel like I'm 1-2 steps behind, and that's kind of the motivation to kind of keep pushing forward. And then when people compliment me and I think they're amazing themselves, that's quite a good quite a motivating thing to carry on, and I'm on the right track.
Yeah, because I forgotten the name, because they were rebranding, because it originally was called the Singapura Lounge.
Okay.
And I remember that place because I'd done my first ever open mic night there, but it was called first open mic night ever was there. It was called the Singapura Lounge, and I think they rebranded it. So yeah, you're right. Aid Lewis was, and I went with Shannon Turner.
That's it, Shannon. Yeah. Yep.
Shannon was there, and that's when I met you.
That's it.
But what was funny is after that, every other open mic night I was at, you would be there. Like, it was just crazy. Yep. How many open mic nights did you do last year?
Last year, I've got to say about 70 odd, I think, possibly. It's definitely worked out more than one a week. And that was even with taking the first 6 weeks off at the start of the year due to personal circumstances. So, yeah, so 10 and a half months, that's, yeah, 60, 70 open mics, possibly.
So do you aim for, like, 2 a week or 1 a week? Is there, like, a name?
I'd say 1 a week. 1 a week's probably the aim. As I say, a circuit, you know, you start to get to know the local spots each week that do an event, and it just gets into a routine, really. There's not a particular goal or aim with it. in terms of I've got to do two a week to do this or that. It's more of a natural sort of thing. But yeah, as I say, you start getting involved in the circuit, you see people you know there on a regular basis, and it's quite a nice sort of breaks up the week nicely, I think.
You do a lot of open mic nights. I would say, like, I mean, I would generally say you are one of the hardest workers, if not top. Every time I look at your social media, you're doing an open mic night, because you film it as well. That's what I was going to ask you. So at every open mic night, you set up your tripod and you film it. Why do you... Is it a case of, like... Because sometimes I feel like if I watch myself back when I play, I completely forget what happened.
Yeah.
I completely forget. And then I'm like, oh, what did that... And then you kind of miss... You can't even hear the audience reaction.
Yeah.
Because the moment they're clapping, you're like, in your mind, you're kind of resetting. Like, oh, what am I playing now? What am I playing now? And you're in the zone to play.
Yeah.
Is it a case of that? You want to... Or is it a case of to try and improve yourself?
Well, good question. I say it's kind of evolved over my 7.5-8 years performing again. So it originally was how I improve. So I'm self-taught. And so it's a case of recording it, listen back, pick the good bits, pick the bad bits, work on the bad bits, and kind of just level up the entire thing. So I've done that for a few years, and sometimes I've come away from a set thinking I was crap, no good at all. And then I'd review it and I think, no, it's not too bad. You know, the bits that I did mess up on, the voice kind of carried over the top of it, which masked it in a way. And then now it's more, again, it's links all into the online presence, the blog, which then ties into the YouTube channel. And that's got, you know, a couple of hundred subscribers, an average probably about 20 views per video, sometimes even more than that. And it just... It's just kind of a constant engine of growth. And obviously, this day and age, obviously, your online presence is almost just as big as the like your in-person presence. So, as I say, it's just been a constant evolution of what I'm doing. And I'm in a position now where if I stop recording it, it's going to look really wonky on the blog, for example. So, yeah, so it's just a continuous process, which... So you get quicker at it once you've done a few hundred. So
it's because when I originally saw you, like, you hadn't been doing music. That was, when was that? 2018 or 19 or something.
So
it was before COVID.
Yeah, so I'd started before COVID. So this whole career music journey thing, and so really started. I picked up a guitar properly to learn properly for the first time in 2015. And obviously I spent the year at home getting the basics down, singing and playing alongside each other, getting that. And then I remember it was a year and a couple of days after buying the guitar that I'd done my first open mic, and that was coaching horses in Northfleet. And, you know, I was amazed at how supportive the scene was. I say, my background when I was singing in public was like karaoke's and stuff like that, and I always found it to be a very... kind of a bitchy atmosphere sometimes, very cliquey. But open mics just were totally different. It's like, if you sucked, it didn't matter. If you made a mistake, it didn't matter. Everyone's appreciative. And I remember doing Stereophonics' You're My Star, which was my second song of that set. And I remember the pub being absolutely silent. And then when I finished the song, like, the applause went crazy. And it's like, wow, geez, wow, this is... unexpected. And as I say, it's just gone from there, really. As I say, COVID kind of put the brakes on a little bit, but there's one thing I want to do is keep practicing, keep going. So I've done a lot of bits and pieces at home during COVID. I'd lost my job literally a couple of days before the first lockdown, got made redundant, and I needed something to kind of keep my mind off of things. And again, it's very cliche, but music kind of got me through. I started out doing a load of covers. I must have done about 50 different songs in the first 50 days of the COVID. But then I thought, well, I've got some time here. I want to do what I've always wanted to do. And I start writing my own material. And that's when I wrote my very first song. And then since COVID, it's kind of like, that's kind of the halfway point, you could say, the second half. Now, I'm doing a lot more of my own material. I'm writing quite a lot. I've got a couple of albums done. I've got an EP done. and it's just a nice progression, looking for the next goal, hitting the next goal, and then moving on to the next goal, and just a constant drive to improve, and I don't know, just find a reason why I do this, really.
I can see this constant strive for improvement, because when I did see you at the Moon Dance, I do remember coming up to you saying you've got some pipes, because I didn't expect you to have that kind of power, but I could tell, like, even back then, you had that kind of belt in your vocal, but I think you were still learning your voice then.
Absolutely. What I do find, as I say, with singing and playing, I lose, I don't know, 10, 15, 20% of my concentration on the voice to get the guitar right. And when it comes automatic and you don't have to think too much about guitar, that's when you can kind of let loose a little bit of the voice a bit more, I guess. I don't know, probably best way I can explain it.
But you're so much more comfortable now.
Absolutely.
Like a hell of a lot more comfortable now.
Yeah.
You touched briefly on the blog you do, because I remember when I originally met you, I went back home and I can never really sleep after like an open mic. Like, you're getting late, your ears are ringing.
Yeah, adrenaline.
And I always like get inspired by the people around me more than famous people.
Same.
Yeah. Same. So like, I was like, I just wanted to. It sounds quite to stalk you. I wanted to find you on Insta. I was like, where is this guy? And immediately having like found you, I think it was the next morning, I think I followed you and everything, like follow. And I think the next morning you put up this blog, you know, the Moon Dance. And I was like, what is it? And I clicked on it and you wrote about me. It was like, I met this guy, he done this medley already. And like, it was so, I was like, it's me, he's wrote about me. But so what, why do you document the blog? What is the
Again,
blog?
Again, that was started at the very beginning, buying the guitar, and I thought, right, how can I differentiate myself? How can I kind of showcase what I'm doing and what I'm working on? And just showing anyone who wants to pick up a guitar that all it takes is a little bit of determination, sticking with it, and you can achieve your goals. That's pretty much my mindset behind the whole lot. So my very first blog was about buying the guitar and learning the E minor and A minor chords and jumping between the two and then moving on to G chord, D chord, C chord. And it's just documenting my progress there. And then as it progressed, I started doing open mics, as I say, 1 year later. And I thought, that's a really good content to actually do. I've got my video that I'm recording, so I'm kind of showcasing my progress. Do the blog of it, embed the video into the blog, so then you've got two channels of social media awareness. So as I say, it's been a kind of an evolution of how I'm getting on with my progression to now my thoughts and feelings about performing at different open mics and gigs and whatever have you. You know, just acknowledging my peers as well. It's quite, as I say, it's always inspiring to hear local talent doing their thing. It's everyone gets blindsided by crap like the X Factor, and I probably sound a massive hypocrite saying it. But there is so much talent in the southeast that I've come across, and it's just like, geez, how the hell have you not made it?
And that's exactly why I wanted to do this podcast. It's exactly why I brought it to Arta, and this is why we do continue music, because you are so right. There are so many people around, and I remember hearing somebody somewhere when I was at work saying, oh, you know, there's no local talent around here. Like, I wish that someone would come locally and become famous. And I sat and was like, you have no idea the talent here. It's so good. But like, in regards to your blog, do you ever hit a moment where you go back on a few blogs just to reread, rewatch?
Occasionally, not too often, to be fair. As I say, there's so much on there. I must be on what, 400 maybe?
That's mad.
Blogs? Something like that. As I say, it's interesting sometimes. Certainly, if I'm having a bad time of it all, and the demons start coming through, and the imposter syndrome, it all starts coming through. Sometimes I flip back to the very beginning, and I've just read how happy I was that I was able to pick up guitar and string a couple of chords together, no matter how badly they sounded at the time. It's the fact that it was a lifelong dream to learn to play the guitar, And I'm living that dream, which is, you know, the reason why I started doing this, to inspire my boys that doesn't matter what age you are, you can chase your dreams. Just set a goal, hit that goal, look for the next goal, hit that goal. And when you take that time to look back, you think, yeah, I've actually have come some distance. And it's, as I say, it's just following something you've always dreamed of, which is inspiring for anyone.
Is there a trigger point that causes those self-loathing days? Is it like a poor gig? Would you put something out? It doesn't get the right amount of attention that you want, and then you see someone else locally and they may do something cool and you're like, oh, well, I'm not... What triggers those holes you get in? Because I get in them as well.
Yeah.
We all do, but what triggers yours?
That's it. It's forgetting when you that you are in your own lane with your own learning journey. And sometimes you're in a... So I've only been playing, as I say, 7-8 years nearly. And you see guys that have been on it, you know, 20-odd years or whatnot, and they're stringing together all these solos and little bits and pieces. I mean, if I get beyond the fifth fret, I'm having nosebleeds. So... So it's, you know, you do get that little bit of envy, is probably the wrong word. I'm certainly not jealous about it, but it's just like, I wish I could do that. But then I forget that there might be people out there looking at me thinking, I wish I could do that.
Mm.
So it's, sometimes you forget that, which is half the battle. But as I say, anything creative, I find you can get inside your head a bit too much. Even my voice, just say, you know, I'm lucky to be naturally gifted with the vocals.
Mm.
But sometimes I absolutely hate it. I listen to it and I think, oh my God, how can anyone listen to this? It's horrible.
It's so perfectly natural and human.
Exactly.
I don't know when this will go out, but I'm re-releasing a song that I put up in 2017.
Mm.
I recorded this song called My Heart.
Mm.
And like, I remember listening to it and I just thought this was so crap. I was just like, I sound like this.
Mm.
The song, it's a bit, oh, I want to throw up in it. It's like, my voice sounds a bit like, I can be your hero, baby. And I was just so repulsed by it.
Yeah.
And I put it on YouTube. It got like 16,000 views on YouTube. I had no idea I had to put stuff on streaming. Wow. But you know what I did? I deleted it.
Oh.
I went down that kind of self-loathing path. I realized, I was like, I'm terrible.
Mm.
I suck. And I deleted it. And it was literally about a month ago, I went through my back files and I found the old recording of it. And I listened to it and I was like, what, why did I do that?
Mm.
And I used to go through stages where I would put stuff on YouTube and delete it.
Mm.
Why did I do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we all do go through that self-loathing thing where we just think we suck. And it's funny because it's so easy to say, like, what you said and forget about the reason you picked up a guitar in the first place. Like, what was your, like, initial gut? Was, like, probably to play guitar and maybe write one song. What was it?
It's an evolving goal, definitely.
I mean, was the first one, do you remember? The first ever musical goal you had?
So, that would be... Yeah, so I'd say it really all changed around for me when I 2015. So, basically, I say, going back to the whole X Factor thing, I auditioned for X Factor, and I was really on the fence about it. I've been struggling with stage fright for a long time, loathing the sound of my voice. I wouldn't even sing in the UK. I was just that sick of the sort of atmosphere around karaoke's, and you know, if you're not Mr. Popular in the pub, you're not gonna get, anyone's gonna take notice or anything, no matter how good you are. And I gave it all up. I was just like, I just can't be arsed with this. It's just, you know, I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it. I'm coming off the stage shaking like a leaf. What's the point? And then I say X Factor in 2015, and people are like, Dan, you're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. I'm like, you know, I've done two before, it hasn't gone well. But, you know, what do I even bother? And I thought, and I was umming and ahhing on it until that very morning. And I thought, screw it, let's do it, let's do it. Mm. So we drove up to Wembley Arena. And queued up for a while, as you do. I kept it quiet because I didn't put anything on socials or anything like that about it. I just kept it quiet, done the bit, and I got through the first audition. And that's all I wanted to do, get through the first audition.
What is the first audition?
Producers.
Do you kind of like... Because I remember walking past something, I think it might have been in like Register somewhere, and it's like booths?
Yep, it's at Little Booths, that's right, yeah.
Well, is it outside booth, kind of?
No, it was inside Wembley Arena, so it was inside a booth.
Yeah.
And I'd done Stand By Me, and I was fully expecting...
Do they give you a song to sing, or do you...
Nah, I choose it.
You choose it,
yeah. And she said, yeah, you're through to the next bit. I was like, what? What? Okay. Happy day. So awesome. You got through, and as I say, this is my personal opinion. I don't know how true it is, and, you know, if you get sued for me saying this, sorry. But in my opinion, only the and the shit hot get through. If you're somewhere in the middle, they don't want to know, because ultimately it's an entertainment product. And they want entertainment. So you get your clowns with the, you know, making idiots of themselves to the telly. And you get the performers, the singers and stuff like that. So I luckily found myself, I don't know, I could be a clown. I don't know. Never know.
Now you've got a vocal. And the thing is, like, I done Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
I performed a song I wrote. And I got through the first bit, and then the next bit you get like a piece of paper and you get called back, whatever, yep. And you go into another room.
Yep.
And I even got pulled out of the crowd. And you know, on Britain's Got Talent, X Factor, you get those like B rolls of walking up to the desk, yep. And you go and you give. Did you do that?
I did that in my first X Factor one. I did that, but again, I was so that again, my opinion of it, as I say, they're looking for an image. And back then, I was like, I was a big lad. I was like 18 stone, proper fat. And I'd done Elvis, Wonder of You. And it obviously weren't what they were looking for, because the geezer in there, he was just playing around with his phone instead of listening to me.
Because at that point, I think they kind of already have what they have. Because I've done it twice. Yeah. And like I remember like I'd done that, and I filmed the B-roll bit of that. And I had like an interview with everyone at the back in Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
But the first time they asked me, like, what was the song about? What's the name of this person? And they wanted to know every single detail about the story. And I was kind of hesitant to give everything away.
Yeah.
I think the second one, I got cut, even though both times I got the furthest point you can go, because I think it's about three or four different stages, before you actually get to the live audition.
That's it, you got it.
Because people think you just audition and go straight to there. You don't.
That's right.
There's a hell of a lot more other things to go to. But correct. The second time I'd done it, Simon apparently turned around to the producers, I found this out later, and said, I don't want any guitarists singing this season.
There it is.
So it was. Yeah. I wish I knew that before,
yeah.
But I was cut before I even turned up, basically.
Yeah, they've got the idea in mind.
But you have to have a story. I mean, there's been local artists in Medway that have got far. I mean, Jamie Johnson was one. He got through to the finals of The Voice. He was on Team Kylie's team. And there was another one called Joseph Apostle, again from Mid-Kent College. He got through to the final as well. He was based out of Gillingham.
There you go. There's a lot of talent around there.
There is a lot of talent in the South East. We've gone full circle here already. Indeed. But there is a lot of it. But it's cool that you... Would you not do audition?
No, this is the thing. This is where the guitar thing comes in. So I got called back to the second bit. And the best thing about all these, again, dressing it up for TV is like you've got to wear the same gear you got. So I was wearing an England shirt because I was auditioning at Wembley. All right, fair enough. Roll up. It's a game, England game. And... I always remember this because this is my point where I've decided, right, this is what I'm going to do from now on. So I was standing outside, this is now in like the producer's office, and there is six of us, and there's a fella in front of me, he had a guitar, and he'd done a Beatles medley, and it's like, this geezer's awesome. I'm going to do this. So I've always wanted to learn to play guitar, always have. And I bought one 20 years ago, and that was before your smartphones and you know, the tuning apps and stuff like that, before your YouTube tutorials and whatever have you. And I tried and I tried, it just sounded and I was like, just gave it up. So for 10 years, this guitar just sat there gathering dust, basically. So I went to this second audition at X Factor, see this guy doing it. And I was like, right, what happens in the next 10 minutes? If I get through, if I don't get through, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be learning the guitar, and I'm not going to stop this time until I can do it. I don't care how long it takes. So yeah, obviously the audition didn't go as planned, but it wasn't the problem because it was like whatever. So I bought a little Stratocaster from Cash Converters, and it cost me £30.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, right, let's go cheap just in case, because if I'm throwing away money, I've got a kid, it's not a good look. So £30 for the guitar, I think another £20 for a little practice amp, and I just stuck it. Half hour, 45 minutes, an hour every day, did not stop until, well, now I'm getting a bit lazy with practice, but yeah, it's as I say, I've stuck to that initial goal, and then from there it's just like, right, okay, you've got the basics now, let's get you performing again. So that's where the open mics started coming in again. So it's getting rid of that stage fright, and as I say, after that first open mic and the adrenaline buzz, it's like, yeah, I feel alive, I'm doing this. So you just carry on grafting, carry on learning, you get more and more comfortable, dual skill in it, as I called it. And as I say, I think the flip side then was COVID, when the performing side had to stop, because obviously we was all locked indoors. And that's what I thought, right, I want to write a song. I can write blogs, okay, but why can I not write a song? Let's just get your head down, focus in, and write a song. And as I say, 2020, I think it was May, I wrote Time's Gone By, which was my first song. My mate told me about DistroKid, where you could post it online. So I thought I'd do that, give that a go. And then lots of great feedback. And again, it's just another learning journey with creating music and the bits and pieces of producing, which at first glance you think's easy, but it's really not. And it's so in-depth. And for someone who's self-taught for everything, and the definition of a DIY musician, there isn't a mountain of stuff to comb through to get your songs to sound as polished as what you hear on the charts.
And you've gone from that moment to, but how do you do that then? Because was any of your parents musicians? Because when you go to write a song, like, I mean, I haven't got like a musical family background. I mean, I was lucky that my parents listened to decent music.
Yeah.
Same. Like, I'm the first ever song I ever remember listening to was Fleetwood Mac. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a video of me when I was a baby dancing to that song, which is quite funny. But like, how do you get songwriting chops when are you listening to like artists constantly?
Yeah, I've got music inspirations from a range of genres. As I say, I would say Kelly Jones from Stereophonics, massive influence. Ryan Tedder, One Republic. Again, he churns out hits like No Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, he's a mad writer.
He's one of the best. I say Bryan Adams as an artist inspiration. Parents, so my dad and my stepmom, we used to go away with them at the weekends. They used to have Queen on the radio, so you know, you'd listen to that. But then my mum or my stepdad, obviously. They listen to different types of music, so we had stuff like Elton John, I remember. So I've got broad taste and range of music.
That's good.
And then it just, as I say, you kind of take bits and pieces from everything, and then you kind of, eventually you find your own sort of style and your mould, and then you build on that. Again, it's all for me, it's all trial and error. And it's, if you do something that hasn't quite worked, okay, what was good about it, wasn't so good about it, and you just repackage and move on to the next target.
We'll talk about your album Searching in a moment. Before that, I just want to, like, why did it take you so long to pick up a guitar and do this? Why did it take? Was it 2015, your first open mic?
Yeah.
Why did it take so long?
Well, as I say,
like, what's wrong with you, man?
I know. I say my background was always as a singer, and so I was naturally gifted with my vocals, and I was spotted at 6 years old, I think I was singing in primary school, and they're like, this boy here, he's got a natural musical ear. I never really thought it. I thought I was just had it. That's just okay. That's what we're doing. This is what we're gonna do. And the same, I think I was 6 years old, and I'd done my first sort of vocal solo in the Christmas Nativity. You know, it's like 200 people, and it's just like, that's what I'm doing. And it's when my voice broke. That's when I was like, you know what, screw this. I'm not going to do this.
So, what sort of voice do you have? Like, I'm walking in the air.
Yeah, as I say, like that.
Almost. Really?
I'm not lying. Yeah, just
that's awesome.
Like that. And as I say, Even some of the boys go to that school, and like the teachers there remember me being the singer.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if that's lasted 20 years, which I thought was quite humbling. But then, as I say, voice broke, voice changed, couldn't do it anymore. Screw it, I'll just leave it. And as I say, as a teenager, you get involved with girls and stuff like that. So I was all loved up with my first love. And we was just, you know, she loved all like the pop stuff, like, you know, Westlife, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC.
Hmm.
And she used to get me to sing it. And I'd sing along with it and stuff like that. And she's like, "You can't sing." I'm like, "But you want me to sing?" I'm confused, but women are confusing. Maybe because she just wanted to keep me for herself. But that relationship ended, of course. And my brother's like, "Dan, there's this karaoke thing going on down the pub." So I'm only 17 at the time. So, you know, we're underage drinking, you know, as you do. He said, "The karaoke, I don't do no f***ing karaoke. Yeah. What's up with you?" He said, "Look, have a beer." Fine, have a beer. He said, "Go on, I'll put us up for a song. It's got to be a bloody Westlife 1-9-M, because he loves his music, that's my brother."
What song was it?
I don't know, I can't. It's definitely a Westlife one. Or, yeah, it's got to be. Very slushy boy band crap. And we did it, and then like, all the girls in there were like, "Oh my God, your brother's got a voice." And obviously he got jealous, as he does. And then I'd done, my first solo one was Robbie Williams' No Regrets. And the place went mental. Absolutely like, "Wow, what a voice. And I just said, I'd just done that for a little while. But then it just got all, as I say, you go to different places and then you hear loads of people, you get different cliques of people. It just got a bit tiring, really, as I say. Just, you know, you don't get the kind of props that you get as a musician, I find, almost. Mm. As I say, I used to take karaoke quite seriously because that was all I did, basically, with that. And so eventually it burnt out. I weren't getting anywhere with it. I wanted to do it a bit like, you know, a semi-professional musician and go around singing at pubs and stuff like that. But so I weren't getting anywhere. I'd done competitions. You'd get through, you'd win first place in all the heats. And when you get to the final, judges are changed and you find out the winner is the one that's sleeping with the judge. It's like...
karaoke competitions?
Yeah.
It's funny because... people, like in our kind of section now, singer-songwriter, local singer-songwriter, we kind of like turn our nose up at karaoke singers, but I disagree. I think, because the thing is, like, with us as musicians, right, I can't sing all these massive high things, like proper, like, I can't hit all these notes. So I know how to get my guitar and to put it in a key, my own key that suits my, so we can sneak around it.
Yep.
Like, yep. Outside, muggles,
yep.
they won't know that.
Yep.
But when you're karaoke, you're singing the exact same key as Robbie. You're singing the exact same key as a Tina Turner. You're singing the exact key. So that's got to be... Yeah, exactly.
That's how I learned to train my voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and
good.
Again, it's recording it. It's listening back. And so the first time I heard my voice back, because obviously, you know, I'm 40 now, so, like, you know, camera phones weren't really a thing when I was growing up, you know. Probably a good thing. Obviously, you think this day and age you can't get up to anything naughty when, you know, you had a drink or whatnot, because that social media follows you around. But yeah, I first heard myself singing when I was 18. And so I'd been doing karaoke for about 18 months at that point. And I was like, yeah, it's okay, yeah. Some people might have a point. But then other days I'd hear it, I'm like, "Oh my God, this is why are people listening to this? Why that's why people are throwing at me."
But then that's 18. So, but again, why the big gap?
Yeah. So as I said, I just
what
got,
did you do? What,
I got
what,
bored
where was
of
you?
It. I got cynical with it. I got fed up with not getting anywhere with it.
Right.
You know, so many people are like, "Yeah, you got a voice. You could do this. You could do this. You could do that." And I try to get the leg up, and I try to do this, and I try to do that, and you're getting walls every time. No. As I say, it's almost a popularity contest.
Mm.
And I just got fed up with it. Just, you know, I'm not one to go around pestering people for it. You know, I'd rather have, you know, the natural sort of props for stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing competition after competition just to get some recognition. So there's no point going, "Yeah, I'm a singer," and that's it. Because who's going to take you on? You need to have some sort of process where they go, "Yeah, this guy's good. We're gonna hire him to do a gig or whatever have you."
Hmm.
And obviously now being a musician on the circuit, obviously you understand it's a little bit more than just getting up and singing a song in a pub. So I just got fed up with all the doors closing. So I was like, there's no point. I've got many other things going on in my life. I've just got the work. I've got a family life. Is there room for it? No. Okay, no big deal. Mm. But as I say, what changed for me, as I say, is having kids. And I'm thinking, don't let your talent go to waste. Don't show your boys that if you've got talent, that you're just willing to let it go. You just got to work for it, chase your dreams. You're going to get doors slammed in your face. And it's just, you've got to keep getting up.
Mm.
And you've got to go again and go again and go again until you get the results that you want.
Yeah, exactly. When you're saying that, it reminds me, there's a country artist called Luke Combs. I think you covered a Luke Combs song before. I follow Luke Combs like from day dot. And he says a story which is insane. He's an amazing writer. He went into a record label and he played She Got the Best of Me, What a Number Away and When It Rains It Pours to this record label.
Mm.
And the guy at the record label went, look, dude, you can't, this is not going to work. You can't really write songs. It's not going to happen. They end up being his first three number ones.
There you go.
And apparently he bumped into this record label executive at an award show when he's winning all these awards. You're so right. You've got to keep going. But
music's subjective.
Yeah.
It's all about individual taste.
Exactly.
Right space, right place, right moment.
You was just annoyed about all of the doors closing. But what was it in 2015 that made you go, do you know what, I'm just going to go to an open mic night and I want to do this.
Yeah.
Not karaoke. I want to do singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah, as I say, it was going on X Factor and seeing that other guitarist.
What year was X Factor again?
2015.
It was 2015, same year.
Yeah, so as I say, it was just seeing that and just thinking, I'm not going to let this go to waste. I want to be a role model for my kids.
Hmm.
You know, just chase and show them, you know, you can chase your dreams. Don't matter your age, chase your dream. If you want to do something, you can't half-ass it. You've got to go full pelt if you want results.
Mm.
You've got to really go for it. You've got to work. And for that whole year, as I say, I stayed at home learning the basics on the guitar. And as I say, about a year into the guitar learning journey, that's when we started the open mics. And as I say, every week then, just go out and do a bit, and it's just that constant learning journey.
You've done so many open mic nights since then, so many, more than probably most people do in their lifetime. You do so many open mics. Yeah. You go on your Instagram, and obviously when this goes out, we will tell everyone your socials. You will see he's at this open mic night, another one. What has been the best open mic night you've ever done? Or best gig, because you do gig now as well.
Yeah, gigs and open mics.
What's the best one you've done?
My best... All right, I've got to separate it into two. So the open mics, of course, is there's a little less pressure to it because it's, as I say, it's almost, I see an open mic now. Certainly back in the day when I first started out, it was a big deal. But obviously once you start getting comfortable with it and you start looking further afield for the next challenge, it all becomes a bit more... As I say, it feels like live practice in a way. So I would say for an open mic, my favourites are the Songwriter Night at the Mole Hole.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, it's obviously original songs. It's something you've pulled from within inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And you lay and bare your soul to everyone that's listening on. And everyone, a few people said this on this channel, that the Songwriter Nights at the Mole Hole are really supportive with, you know, fellow artists doing exactly the same thing. Really inspiring stuff, hearing people doing their own work, and I'd say it's definitely one of the best in the area, I'd say, without a doubt.
Yeah, that is true. So that those who are listening to this for the first time and don't know what Dan is chatting about, that is a Mole Hole in Gravesend.
Mm-hmm.
And the last Sunday of every month they do a Songwriter's Night. So if you're a local musician and you've got some songs you want to showcase, the best place to show them is there, because it's the environment where, I mean, we've all done open mic nights where people are chatting in the background, but no, not at this Songwriter Night. People are going there to listen to your stories. If you've got some songs you want to put out there, go to the Mole Hole Micropub. I'm not even getting paid for this plug, but honestly, it is the best. People just completely shut up and listen to you. Right, that's the best. What is the worst What is the worst one that you've ever been to, Dan?
The worst one.
You've walked away and you wanted to get your guitar and slam it up against a lamppost outside.
I think the worst one for me is I didn't even play. As I say, my wife and my kids are the reason I do this. And I always went, ironically, it's the same venue that I went to for my very first open mic. And they had a change of ownership. So we've always had no issues there. I'm one of the performers there. So wife and kids can come along. You know, I worked in a pub back in the day. So I know that kids can be really annoying in pubs. It's an adult only space.
Mm.
So whenever we walk into an establishment like that, where it's had adults, my kids are like on zero tolerance, best behaviour. So they've got their iPads. And the amount of times people have said to me, I didn't even realise your kids are here, they're so quiet. And that's just how I feel about kids in pubs and all that. But this one particular time, we go in there, and the people behind the bar take one look, and they just said, kids, out.
Was you playing at this
point? I was going to be playing, yeah. I was going to be playing, I'm not even doing like three songs like your normal open mic. I'm generally doing nine songs, because there weren't many performers. And, you know, so I'm doing half a gig for them, for free.
Yeah.
So entertaining their customers for free. And they spoke to me like I was a piece of dirt. And I was like, nah, you know what? Nah, I'm not coming back here. So, yeah. So until the owners change there, I won't be going back to that venue, because I know what it's like working in a pub, but you talk to customers and people with respect.
No. Kids out.
Yeah, literally.
It was literally
as dismissive as that.
Really?
Yeah, not... Oh, you've got a... Sorry, mate. You know, I see you got your guitar on your back. I know what you're here for, but look, this is a scenario. It was a literal kids out. So, who the are you talking to?
That's crazy. Interesting.
As I say, for somebody who works in a pub, I know what it's like. Believe me, I know about licensing laws. I know that. But as I say, if we had never had any issues for the few years before that, and we weren't ever going to have any issues there, why make such a big son of dance of it? And most certainly don't talk to me like I'm a piece of shit. I'm a paying customer at the end of the day.
Yeah. No,
keeping your business afloat. I'm entertaining your customers for free, and you speak to me like that.
We've all had some bad ones. Yeah. We've all had some bad ones. Mm. Like I've had ones where I'm doing a gig and there's just no one there, really, but two people.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
And that's family. We've all had those ones. Yeah. But then you've had some that all of a sudden you have piles and piles of people coming in.
Yeah.
And wanting to have a good time, and they're all about what you're doing.
Yeah.
We've all had them. Before we run out of time, though, I do want to talk about your album, Searching. I went to a football match yesterday, and I drove to Horsham to watch Horsham play Kingstonian. What a banger. What a banger of a football fixture. But I went there, and on my way there, I'm like, right, I'm gonna block everything out, and I'm going to listen to a bit of Dan Solo on the way. And it's just your album, man. It, what's kind of cool is, like, I've seen you at so many open mic nights. You are like my artist herpes. Can't get rid of you, Dan. I go to that mic night and all of a sudden, there he is. He's popping around the corner. But like, I was listening to all of these songs. And first of all, like, I mean, I've listened to them before, but who produced this?
So... Take Back to the 90s, track one.
Are they all different people?
And Frozen in Time was done in Audio Sorcery Studios in Tunbridge Wells.
Okay.
That's Paul Midcalf there, the absolute genius.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there with an acoustic idea and lyrics. We'll go through it and get a bit pricey, hence why the rest of the album is produced by myself.
It's produced by yourself?
Yep.
So what do you mean produced by yourself? Go into that.
Yeah, DIY, done at home.
Really? Yeah. What program did you do that on?
So all that one's done on GarageBand.
GarageBand?
And then it's mastered via a website called BandLab, which does free mastering. And that kind of gives the final bit of polish to the song.
That is awesome. Well, I never knew that. That's an exclusive. Dan Solo producing his own album. Well, you're a talented little soul, aren't you? But one thing... Have you heard, are you familiar with John, obviously, John Mayer? Are you familiar with John Mayer at all? Do you listen to some of his stuff?
Familiar. Yeah,
so there's an album that he released, a couple of years ago now, called Sob Rock. He released a record called Sob Rock. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a link with that Sob Rock to you, and I'm listening to this and this production. So when you, and John Mayer meant to do this, it's meant to play tricks with your mind. So when you listen to Sob Rock, it is produced in such a way that you feel like you've listened to it before, like years ago.
Yeah.
There's like a song called Shot in the Dark, Last Train Home. Like also, it just feels like I've heard this years ago, but you haven't. It's brand new. And that's the exact vibe that I get when I listen to your music. When I listen to your music, I feel like, and it's nothing to do with the fact I have listened to these songs before acoustically open mic nights, so every single open mic I go to, you are there. It's got nothing to do with that. It is the production side. I feel like genuinely I have listened to it before because of the production. And it really, really is impressive. And I want to talk about a few songs. I tell you, if I can say a title from the record, if you can do like a 30-second sum up of it, try and get as many of these songs in as possibly can.
Yeah.
But my favourite song, I want to start with this one, my favourite song of yours, it's the vocal, it's the melody, it's the whole shebang-a-lang, Frozen in Time.
Yeah,
that's my The way your one. Vocal, is your favourite one as well?
It is indeed, yeah.
So, like, it's just your vocal at the start, your proper, like, I mean, the lyric of that, you turn around and you say, was it something I said or something I misread or is he the better man?
Yeah.
Just what your is this a diss track on someone?
No, not really. It's a heartbreak song. It's a breakup one, and I kind of put myself in the shoes of the person. I kind of visualize it, and he's obviously grieving the loss of his ex partner, and he's just questioning himself. Was it something that I did? Something I did? Is there someone else? And that's just the general kind of just the self-questioning of as to why he's stuck in the past and she's moved on.
This is nothing. So it's nothing to do with you.
No.
You just sat there and made up this story.
Yep.
That's mad.
Yeah, just visualizing.
That is crazy.
In a certain situation.
So consider in that case, then the song really doesn't mean anything to you on a personal note. So why is it your favorite song?
I think it's the whole collective thing of it. I wrote it, obviously, with guitar. I can tinker a little bit on piano, but I'm useless at it, really, if I'm honest. So I wrote it with the guitar as a demo, and it just screamed a piano-based power ballad, to say, going back to, say, Bryan Adams' inspiration. And I went to the studio, and I said, this, for me, screams piano. And it's like a power ballad, like Everything I Do, which obviously went mental in the 90s. I said, it screams of that. And I played the demo to Paul McCarthy, Audio Sorcery, and he said, yeah, absolutely. So, as I say, we've done the melodies on the piano. I've done the vocals. And we just put together this song, and it was just like, yeah, this is awesome. And I say it's just definitely my favourite song. And so the vocal, very proud of the vocals. I chuck in the husk in now.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the story of the song, the piano, the big sort of overdriven guitar at the end of it. It just, as I say, went on Radio Kent with it, and Leo Elf on there. He said you can just imagine a crowd holding up lighters as the song's hitting its kind of crescendo. And at the album launch of my gig, when I played with my newly formed band, everyone did that. They've got the torches on their phone.
Ah, so cool.
And they were doing that bit at the end of that song. And I didn't even said anything, and they were just doing it. It was just like, this is just amazing.
That's so cool. So this is obviously, we're talking about tracks from your album, Searching. It is honestly a cracker of a song.
Thank you.
Let me talk about one that... Do
90s.
Take me back to the 90s. Give me like a 30-second roundup of that one.
So 90s, I love nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I love my retro gaming. I love everything about looking back in the past and stuff like that. And the golden years, as I say, growing up, obviously, it's a golden time for anyone when they look back on their childhood fondly and stuff like that, if they've had a happy childhood. And 90s kind of looks back how things have changed back then. And I'm really proud of this one because it's the one that went semi-viral in America and had over 1,000 plays in America over Christmas, which was completely random.
That is awesome. What was that? How did you? Was that on Apple Music?
Spotify? Apple Music. And YouTube Music as well.
That's really good. That's really good.
1,000 on each.
So give me another one. Let's have a. That's what I'm trying to remember when you played it. You've definitely played this one, Spread Your Wings.
Yeah, Spread Your Wings is kind of like, again, I liked writing about, you know, mental health and stuff like that. And sometimes if you're stubborn, like me, you get stuck in a moment and you want to keep fighting, you've got to keep going. And sometimes it's self-defeating. So sometimes by moving away from it and getting a bit of better perspective, it's beneficial for you.
That is awesome. And I'm going to do one more from this album. Let's do a random one. One I listened to this morning, actually. Again, Rock With Me.
Rock With Me. This my last song. My last song. So again, going back to the very beginning.
The last one that you wrote on this album?
Yep, last
album.
Song I wrote on the album. Yep, August last year. So going back to when me and you first met.
Oh?
You'd done the medley. So I was like, well, how did he do that? How did he do that? So looking through my chord sheets, I'm like, yeah, that song's got the axis of awesome on it. A minor, F minor, F,
yeah.
C, G. That song has. Okay, they're just singing it a key up or a key down if you're using a cap or whatnot.
Yeah.
So let's just squeeze that down into one long medley of songs. So, you know, I can now like spill out 7 or 8 songs using this same chord sequence or family.
Yep.
And then I thought, right, that is a really catchy chord progression. It obviously works. Many, many artists have done well with it. I'm going to write a song with that chord progression.
Mm-hmm.
So then... Rock With Me come in. I thought I needed an energetic song for the album, and Rock With Me is that energetic song.
Mm.
And again, axis of awesome for it. Big chorus, really good one to open up gigs with. And I say again, one of my favourites on the album.
That is a really cool album. Like I said, it takes me back to. I feel like I've heard it before.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard it before. There was one song which is not on the album. But when you do sing it, it is an earworm. People just sing it back to you. I don't know why didn't this make the album, first of all. It's whoa, lust in you. Why did that not make the album? What are you doing to me?
That's on my first album.
It's on your first album?
Yeah. I did have had one album before. Again, it's all a learning curve. So each one I do, the design is to be better than the last. So whether it be a different sound, more technical stuff to it, X, Y, Z. Even learning to say production. As I say, the Lost in You was my first one I took to the Audio Sorcery Studios. That's on the EP as well. I've done an Audio Sorcery EP, which has the 3 studio songs on there. And that is probably my first kind of, shall we say, signature song. Everyone seems to just like sing along to it, which is really cool. Can't say there's any better feelings than that when you see people in the crowd singing your own songs back to you. It's a pretty awesome feeling.
Because Audio Sorcery EP has got Lost in You, Turn Back Tonight is a Frozen in Time, we've spoken about. What album was Lost in You on?
It's my first one. It is.
What was that album called?
It Is What It Is.
It Is What It Is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not on? I can't. Is that
it's just in there.
It Is What It Is.
Yep.
It Is What It Is. Oh, okay. Oh, 2021. Of course, there it is. It was on a different section.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in You, Living on Mars, Music Time Machine, Did You Ever, The One That Got Away, Pour Me a Drink, Lad's Holiday. Yes, I have listened to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think this rings a bell now. I remember this artwork. It Is What It Is. Yes. So you released the album in 2021, It Is What It Is, and then you released a second album. It is your second album.
Second album, yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Before we, sign off, because we're getting close, I just want to quickly touch on a couple of things. First of all, you mentioned your new band.
Yep.
So talk to me, what's the name of this band? Talk to me a bit about this band and what is the future of this band?
Right, so, the band come across completely by accident. So again, the benefit of going to so many open mics, you meet so many decent people. So, as I say, Searching was a project that was very, very important to me. Quite an emotional project. I lost my stepdad at the start of it, who was my best friend. And then I was halfway through the album writing process and I lost my dad, so 8 months apart. Mm. So this project got me through depression, got me through the grief. And when it come to sharing this with the world, so obviously everyone's heard the acoustic stuff at the open mics, but to hear the producing side of things, which I'd locked myself into my little home studio and just tinker with songs and make them better and do bits and pieces on the album, and it got me through the dark times.
Mm.
So coming to release it, see, it is what it is. I put it out there because it was exactly what it is. It is what it is. You know, like it or lump it, this is what it is. This is my progression. Searching, as I say, I wanted to get this one right because it was an emotional project. I felt I owed it to my late dad and my late stepdad to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, I'm going to do all of the online promotions. I'm going to do acoustic bits and pieces, telling people about the songs. I'm going to put that on TikTok and Instagram, all of that lot. And I thought, right, so what am I going to do this real life? Right, okay, let's get a band together, do a live gig, album launch gig with it. So I had a chat with some guys that I knew from open mics over in South Durham. So Rob Harris and Lara Moore, they run open mics. And I said to them, right, do you fancy doing an album launch with us? We've done a couple of collaborations in the past. And my percussionist, James Edwards, he joins up with everyone. He's such a talented fella. And I said, guys, would you mind taking some time out for one evening to do an album launch with me? And I said, yeah, absolutely, 100%. So we got together for a couple of rehearsals beforehand, and they'd done two rehearsals.
Mm.
And they're like, are you sure you just want to do this as a one-off?
Oh.
I'm like, so honestly, guys, I didn't want to speak for you because we've all got busy lives, but I wouldn't say no if it's something you'd like to do.
Mm.
And so I'd done the album launch. It was a fantastic night, and it's everything I dreamed of. It's probably my favourite gig, going back to that question, is an album launch of my own material with my own live band. That was at the Mulhole as well.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely fantastic night. It's so cool hearing my own songs brought to life with real people. And as I say, the next stage of the adventure is with the band. As I say, we've got the band stuff, got a few gigs lined up with the band. We're doing obviously predominantly original songs, obviously a few covers sprinkled in. And as I say, it's just another venture in this progressing journey.
And what's the band name?
Dan Solo and the Rebel Alliance.
Whoa, Dan Solo and the Rebel. When you talk originals in regards to the band,
mm-hmm.
is it going to be your originals? Are you going to try and write a separate batch of originals for you and the band?
Good question. At the moment, it's still just my work,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always open to ideas and stuff. So mm-hmm. as I say, if the guys have got something, we can work together. And obviously, who knows? So never say never.
That's cool. And have you got anything coming out 2024 this year at all? Anything Nothing. Else?
Yeah, I've had a bit of writer's block since, I say ironically, August, when I wrote Rock With Me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been stuck with that. Obviously, promotion with the album took a lot of attention away from actually sitting down and writing some stuff. But I wrote my first song of this next stage last weekend. Sorry, the weekend before even, sorry. And then within a week, my band had performed it at an open mic and I played it at Songwriter Night. So that's probably the next stage, the next level.
Is there a song that you've written recently that you love and you haven't played live yet?
No.
No? You've played everything live?
Everything recent is in the public domain now.
It is all out there?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, look, Dan Solo, it's funny, like, though... You're the first person, because obviously you're the second person on this new version of the Continue cast, and you're the first person that's come in where I was actually quietly crapping myself because Josh Hassel came in for episode one. I've known him for years.
Yeah.
And though I have technically known you, because I met him in 2017, though I met you probably a year later,
yeah.
I've probably known you just about the same time. Though I know you, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like when Josh was sitting opposite me, I was like, I was so, and listening back to it, like, I was so nervous, and I was kind of nervous for this one because I was like, I don't know him.
Yeah.
Like, who are you, man? And I, it was, but honestly, it's actually been chill, and I've learned a hell of a lot about you. One of the things that have come out, which I really respect you for, is the fact you're all about goals. You keep pushing, you're pushing. And even through those self-loathing days, you've still got those blogs, you've still got those videos to look back and be like, do you know what? I have far surpassed what that guy back then a few years ago wanted to do. And you can reset yourself and put yourself back into those places. But like, fair play, man. But like, look, Dan Solo, check him out. Spotify, Apple Music. Apple Music's obviously smashing it by the sounds of things because obviously your American streams.
Yep, that's right.
But we've got our latest album called Searching that's out now. It was released last year. It is what it is. We mentioned it was released in 2021. He's got a hell of a lot of stuff. You've got so many songs out there, man. You've got so many projects out. I'm just like scrolling on my phone and looking. Yep. It's like you've got so much stuff. You've even got some Christmas stuff on here as well.
Yeah. Yep.
You got a Christmas song, but you're constantly writing, constantly grafting. Can't wait to see what else you put out. But yeah, you're gigging a lot. Lots of open mic nights. You are around. Like, you're probably not just me, but you're probably a lot of artists' herpes. You're like, you're always...
I don't know if that's a compliment, really.
You're just always there, man. Sure.
Thank you.
But we're not trying to get rid of you. We want this herpes. Yeah. We want this. But, dude, honestly, thank you so much for coming in, taking time of your day.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's been great.
Yeah, honestly, like, I'm just proud of you. I think you've come so far. Your vocal. I'm going to re-listen to it. I'm going to stick Frozen in Time on my thing. I love that tune. Yeah. Frozen in Time.
Proud of that one.
It feels so 80s. It feels so 80s.
Yeah, I say, not a 90s power ballad. That was the goal with that one. And yeah, I love it. It's such a good song.
Really, thank you so much for coming in.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always, all the best for 2024.
Okay.
And that is episode number 2, Dan Solo of the Continue Cast.